Welcome to The Exclusive. I'm your host, Sharon Tharp. Today kicks off my official coverage of The Traitors US Season 2, which I'm really excited about. We're starting here with a cast assessment. And when I was thinking about how I'm going to do this, who I'm going to invite, I was like, I need somebody who knows things I don't know. And not only is this woman a Bravo expert, she's a Bachelor expert, and she basically knows everything about reality TV. So I'm excited to welcome the deputy editor of Us Weekly, Sarah Herron. Sarah, how are you?
Hi, Sharon. I'm good. How are you?
I'm good. I'm excited that we get to podcast together.
I know. It's been a minute. Are some pretty iconic, insane names that Peacock decided to put in a house together.
Yes. Mansion. So first, before we dive in, because we're going to go through everybody and break everything down, did you watch season one?
I did watch season one. It was my first dabble into any Traitors world. I know there's like other countries. I've never seen any of those, and people like get offended at that. I'm sorry. But I did watch it. I did watch it. And it was one of those things that was like a weekend that I watched the whole thing. And I remember you covered it. And the only person I spoke to was Ari, because I do so much Bachelor coverage. And I was like, that was the biggest surprise of my life, that Ari Lahyntyke Jr. was so good on the show. And so I talked to him about it and I was fascinated.
Yeah. He kind of ended up quitting at the end. It was like a weird thing.
The way I remember it, and the way it kind of was explained to me, like when talking to him and in some of the interviews other people did, is like he knew that no one wanted him to get the money anyway, because he was like had money and kind of tried to turn it on that. But also like it was Suri. It was her game anyway. Like, let her have it. I mean, she deserved it. Like,
yeah,
it's her moment.
For sure. I'm happy they're kind of just doing all reality stars. I don't know how you feel, but like Peacock, the first season apparently did well. Peacock has the money. They can get the names. Like, why not? But like, when you first saw the cast, what were your initial thoughts?
Honestly, I was really shook at some of these names, because you always are going to have like your token housewife or something, but having three housewives in this group.
I think it's four.
Is it four?
Well, with Larsa, I mean.
Okay. So that's crazy. Four housewives. And like someone like also MJ from Shaw's is kind of like housewives adjacent, let alone some of the names from your big brother, like have their own almost like housewife vibe. Like, I don't know. Like, it's just crazy to me. Like, they're more talented as far as like skills wise of competitions, but like some of them can be, you know, a little strategic and catty in their own ways. But when I saw how many housewives were on there, I was just so confused in the best way. Like, obviously they're available to do it, but I was just like, this is a wild thing to do. And I also felt like last season with the regular people, I don't know what they're referred to.
The normal people.
The normal people. It like made it to, took you out of the game. Like, I don't want them crying over needing the money. Like, I want everyone to be on the even playing field of we can be savage. We're not feeling bad for people that don't understand how reality TV is going to edit you, is going to mess with you, is going to change your life. Like, these are all pros. We can take that human element out a little bit. Cause I think at the end it got a little sad. Like, everyone was too emotionally attached to each other. And I don't like that.
That's such a good point. And like, it's weird. It's like a lot of them are fangirling, which I feel like I would be too. Like, I totally get that sentiment. But like, yeah, you're right. It kind of like took us out. Like, oh yes, we're watching normal people play. I don't know. It was a weird dynamic. I agree.
And I'm sure there was stuff we didn't even see that really played in the fangirl part of it. Like, imagine if you watch Survivor and you're playing with Suri, like, of course you're just going to like bow down, because I would too. And some of these people, what's so interesting to me and what I can't wait to see is, like, did the Bravo and more people in my world of reality TV, did they do any of their homework? Like, do they know that these are like Survivor and Big Brother, like all stars? Like, they may have no idea, which is scary and kind of amazing too.
Yes. And we're going to get into it, because there are some random names in there who I am sure have no idea who these people are. Like, and also like the housewives, like, are they really reading up on like Survivor and Big Brother?
No. They're in their own world. They are in their own world. They think that they're invincible and they don't think other shows exist. Like, they definitely don't know. They know what Survivor is. They know what Big Brother is. Maybe some of them have gotten offers to be on a celebrity Big Brother, but they don't probably know how like skilled some of these people are, or even like Banana, CT. Like, these are people that their whole lives are competition, both mental and physical. And like, when your life is being a Real Housewives of Atlanta, you're scrappy and you're you're manipulative in some ways, and you're definitely, you know, great television, but I don't know if your like gameplay is sharp. And these are just it's just an uneven balance of like really good game players and like wild reality stars.
Yeah. And I will say, maybe it was also the element of like wanting to make sure there were that the people in there that know how to make good TV, like know what the producers want, because, you know, they love the drama. I mean, just looking at season one with Kate even and all that, it's like they live for that stuff. So they wanted that too.
Yeah, no, it's a good mix. I feel like of people that are going to like bring it in competitions, people that are going to be playing mind games, and people that are good TV, because Peacock, you know, it's Bravo, NBC. They know these women. They can call these producers and be like, will, you know, Larsa, hey, how would she handle this? What would she do? And then they said she must bring her boyfriend.
We'll get into that, because that's a weird one.
Yeah.
But yeah, and I think the big thing as we go through these people is like, who knows each other, who has relationships, who has beef, because there's definitely people in here who have had beef in the past. So I kind of want to get into all that. But yeah, we'll kick it off in alphabetical order just because it's easier. So we will start off. This is Karsten Bergie Bergeson from Love Island USA.
Okay.
I really don't know much about this guy. I'm going to lean on you a little bit here. I've heard he's a nice guy from what I've heard.
Okay. But
tell me about Bergie. What do you know about Bergie?
Okay, this is the only man I've never seen before. I watch Love Island UK.
I don't
watch Love Island USA. But I imagine everything I know about Love Island USA, and honestly Love Island overall, is these are people who are here for a good time, but maybe not going to be strategic geniuses.
I love how we started off with like the one person both of us are not familiar
with. I know. I'm sorry.
No. But I will say, so my brother watches this and I was talking. Okay. He seems like the guy who like kind of like the nice guy finished last vibe. Like I don't think he went home with a girl, but he had like people rooting for him. At least this is what I've heard.
Okay.
So he's just kind of like a nice guy. So I'm like a little worried he's going to go in there and get eaten alive a little bit.
Yeah.
And then I also wonder, which I'm sure we'll get to with Ek and Sue, is like, do the Love Island people talk? Do they know each other? I mean, UK and US are different, so like I don't know. But yeah, I don't know much about Bergie, I will say.
I don't either. He could know other Peacock related people, because that's on Peacock Love Island UK, I think. I mean Love Island US, I think. And listen, I mean the reality world is small. So if you're at certain party appearance, it's possible. It could be interesting. Maybe some of the other more experienced men or something will take him under his wing. If they find someone who they can manipulate, like, couldn't you see a CT or Bananas being like, all right, let's mold this kid into what we want him to be. I can see that happening to Peter too, but we'll get to him.
Yeah. And in terms of like being a traitor or faithful, like to me, nice guy probably comes off being a faithful, but like, you know, we've also seen Peacock. They made Cody a faithful. They made Suri, people who are generally, well, Suri has like a cutthroatness, but like
well-liked. You
know, well-liked people. And so I don't think they should make him a traitor. I feel like that might be a little, but again, I'm just talking, I don't know.
Yeah.
I feel like he would probably be a good faithful. I don't know.
What do you think? We'll see. I'm interested. It's kind of nice to have like one or two people that you can like learn about. You know what I mean? Because it's not perfect, but yeah, he's probably the only person I had never even heard of before, but that's okay.
I know. I'm sorry to the Love Island people. I know. Maybe eventually get to it, but I heard he's a nice guy. That's the gist of what I know about Bergie. All right, let's go to people we actually know, people are watching for. We have CT here from The Challenge. He obviously is originally from Real World Paris, which I did watch live. I was like a huge Real World fan. He's done over 20 seasons of The Challenge. I think he has at least 5 wins. He's won over $1 million on that show. He's recently divorced. He seems like he's gotten his shit together. I'm kind of excited to see CCT. I thought it was like an interesting move because he's not necessarily the most strategic, almost social, but he's just like a beast. Like he's a huge human. He's going to help in these challenges. But what do you think about CT being on the cast?
I'm really interested to see CT because of what you just said. I think this is going to be a challenge, for lack of a better word, for him. I think he will excel in challenges, obviously. And what's interesting about Traitors is like, that's important, but not as important as it is in other shows by any means. It's like a negotiating tactic, but like you have to take yourself out of it, I feel like, to be like, how much does it matter that we win these, and how many of these people do we want to keep around? It's definitely, I feel like, will throw people for a loop. Someone like him, who is a competitor, who's going to like arrive to these challenges, if he doesn't feel like he's getting his due or like respect because of how much he's performing in these challenges. But it's not as important in a game like this. So I really don't know. I think he's gonna, I mean, he's like charming, or always used to be. I haven't watched the challenge in a few years, but like, you know, the CT and DM days, like, was there anything better than CT? Like,
loved it.
He was everything. So I think he's just gonna have to like use some of that charm and like try to stay cool, calm, and collected. But I think, I mean, not to jump down, because I know we'll get to him, but it's hard to talk about CT without talking about Bananas, because I think it's gonna matter if the two of them decide to play nice, if the two of them decide to take someone like Bergy, maybe like the boxer, who I'm sure will be really good at challenges too, but maybe doesn't have the strategy vibe. Like, the challenge is one of those rare shows that has a little bit of both. So true. I don't know. I think CT, it's going to be interesting to see who he teams up with, because he's going to need like a strategic sidekick, because he's going to be more physical, which isn't as important.
I totally agree. I think the challenges on this show are kind of like boring. Like, I find bored through them sometimes. They're just like, I hope they are switching it up. And I've heard they are a little bit in terms of like, I guess
the stakes. Shields.
I don't know exactly, but it's just like the stakes seem low when they're doing these challenges.
Wait, correct me if I'm wrong, but last season were all of the shields just like you like picked up a cup or a box or something? Did they compete for them, or did they just get them?
I've watched so many iterations of the show, so I'm hopefully not confusing, but I thought you like won a chance to go into a room
to possibly get
a shield.
I just remember seeing Ari like multiple times pick up a cup or like open something and be like, I'm safe again. And I was like, wait, that's it? Like, what's happening?
Oh my God. People, if I'm wrong, please don't scream at me. But like, I've watched, again, I just watched the Traitors, the Canada too. So I'm just like, but I agree. And then in terms of Bananas and Trishel, because CT and Trishel go way back, I'm sure too. I have to imagine they're going into this like, we're not stupid. Whatever we had in the past is the past. Like, we need to stick together. And I kind of feel like they're going to get frustrated with some of these housewives in these challenges. Like,
I mean, I cannot imagine some of these housewives doing these challenges. It's going to give Kate, for sure, Kate Chastain. Like, they also, especially if they can, like, if they really understand what the challenges bring to the game. Like, it's not like you're going to tribal and voting off someone in these, like, I don't know. It's just like not quite as related. Like, you can definitely win this game and not do anything in the challenges. And I feel like in other shows, that's not as easy.
That's so true. Yeah.
So I can't imagine the house, especially if it's like after they do a few, if they're like too like physically taxing, I think they might check out.
That's so true though. I'm thinking like, has there ever been a time where they were like, this person sucks in a challenge, let's banish them? Like, I don't think that happens here. So no. It doesn't really matter.
Yeah, I think it's so much more being strategic about for the traders to just make sure they're keeping around that aren't being suspicious of them. Like, who cares if they suck at carrying this or whatever that, if they're never going to guess that they're the ones doing it. Like, that's just so much more important. But I don't know. I don't want to sell them short, but you never know.
You know, CT and Bananas have this like iconic moment from the challenge, Bananas backpack. So like, they definitely go way back. And I just think that, I don't know the current status of their relationship. I think they're fine. I think it's going to be fine. They also are, and I'm talking a little bit about Johnny here too, but these are strategic players in some sense. Same thing with Big Brother and Survivor people. You also have to be thinking like the metagame, the numbers. Who would they make traitors? There's three challenge people, four housewives, two Survivor, two Big Brother. Like, you kind of have to like, that's what I would be thinking. I'd be like, all right, there's got to be one traitor in the mix. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Which is also why last season, I think having the normal people was a disadvantage, because you would think they have to pick at least one normal person and they're going to pick two celebrities. Like, that to me would have been the first thing I was thinking. And that's what they did do. And maybe they didn't show it, but I feel like they weren't thinking like that. And maybe it was just like, they didn't want to be like, oh, the normal people. I don't know. But I was like, that's obvious. My gut tells me they're going to do something of the CBS variety, whether it's a Big Brother or a Survivor. If they do two of them, those people are going to dominate, because the Big Brother and Survivor people, I think, have an advantage of just the games, like just being better at mind games and like reality television, to be quite honest, in this sense, the competition part. So I would imagine they pick one of them, but if they do two of them, they might like dominate too quickly. And then they're definitely going to give you a housewife, if I had to guess. I don't, I know nothing. And then the third one could be anything, but I would bet money on one Bravo, one CBS personality. And then I'm not sure who else.
Like a rando.
Yeah. Maybe like Peter. I don't know. Like a someone who's in the middle. If it was Ekansu, I would laugh so hard. Like, I don't know. There's someone maybe, I just can't imagine they're going to give it to two like big time competitors, at least in the beginning, because it can switch depending on twists I don't know.
Yeah. So actually I just watched the UK. The UK just came out their version, and it's the same, it's filmed back to back with US, and all the challenges are basically the same. And what I will say is I believe they started out with three traders and they've recruited one after like the first, on the first episode. So it'll be interesting, like say someone from the challenge like CT is a trader. Does he be like, oh, well, if I can recruit, let me just take one of my friends. You know what I mean? Like that whole thing is interesting too, if they do recruitment.
Because they know each other's. It's also probably harder to lie to someone who's played a game with you before.
Oh, 100%.
Like
if CT is a traitor, I have to imagine at least Johnny Bananas would suss that out.
Yeah, you would think. I mean, there are some people who are just really good at lying, but I don't know. I think that is a huge thing. If you've played a game before with them, you kind of can know their tells. If you've, you know, been in that world with them, you might be able to pick up on stuff. But oh god, the more I just look at these names, I'm just like, wow, like this is a wild group of people.
Yeah, so the next person is probably my favorite person.
Let's you take this one.
It is Dan Giesling. If you're not familiar, he won Big Brother 10. He came in second place on Big Brother 14. He's my favorite player of all time. I know people on this podcast are probably tired of me saying it, but it is the truth. I love him as a player. I love him. He's just so fun. He's like great TV. And I was nervous, but like at the same time, I'm like, he hasn't been on TV in 10 years. So it's time for him to come back. I think this cast is good for him because I don't think most of them know who he is. I mean, I think Sandra, Parv, Janelle. Bananas probably, I'm sure Bananas did his homework.
Yeah.
So like, but like the rest of them have no idea who he is, and he can be he's a very like quiet, composed, knows how to like control his emotions. And when he's manipulative, but like we call it misting, like you don't even realize he's manipulating you. He's just that good. And so I'm so excited to see him on this cast with Janelle too. We'll talk a little bit about that, but like him and Janelle played in Big Brother 14 together.
Okay.
And while he, I believe, did end up voting her out because the house, that's how it was going. They're good friends. Like, I don't know what they're going to say when they get in there, like maybe pretend like they don't know each other.
Okay.
Janelle and Kacer did that on Big Brother 22. They pretend that they didn't know each other, but,
that was one of the Big Brother seasons I have watched, 22. So I've seen Janelle, but I've never seen Dan.
Yeah. He's just so good. I don't even know how to describe, like I said, just what he will do, I think, is get what he wants without basically making you think it was your idea.
Like not getting the blood on his hands.
Yes.
Yeah.
He will not get involved in the drama. Like if you see people fighting, he'll watch it from afar, but he will never raise his voice. He will never speak up. He's just not that kind of guy. Like he would in Big Brother 10, like just read his Bible on the couch.
Okay.
And yes. And so, and he's a religious guy, but he also is so cutthroat. Like he's sworn on the Bible before, sworn on his, you know, family members. Like,
oh, I love that.
Yeah. Oh, the morals go out the door in the
game. Which I'm fine with. I hate when the argument becomes like, anything. That was again with some of the regular people last season. I feel like they couldn't handle like being lied to, and I get that as a human, but like the second you sign up to play any of these games, like you have to let it go. You have to be like somewhat, you can be like, I don't want to be your friend, like I don't trust you in real life, but like you have to respect it. And like, I don't know, I guess there's a line for some people, but I don't have one as an audience member.
Me either, and especially if you're coming out of your reality TV retirement, you're not he's not going for the TV. He's going to win the money. You're because this was filmed over like I want to say 3 weeks, and you have a chance to win a good chunk of money. And so for him, this is a paycheck. Like, I don't think he left his family and his job. He's a very successful Twitch streamer. So I don't think he did all that to like go on TV. That's just not his vibe. He goes there for the check and that's it. And so he, I expect, would be very cutthroat as he always is, very quiet. And like I said, I think him and Janelle are good. In fact, I don't know this, but like I'm assuming they talked before
I'm
the
sure.
show.
I'm sure.
I'm sure. Like I don't know how extent, like to the extent of it, but like yeah, so I'm so excited to see him. I'm excited that no one will probably really know who he is. I just really am afraid. I just don't want him to go out early. Like,
I was gonna
that would
say,
kill me.
do you think there's like bigger stakes, and maybe I'm reading into it too much, for someone who has one Big Brother or one Survivor or is known for being like an iconic game player to come on a show like this, like a Bananas? Like, it would be really embarrassing for Johnny Bananas to get voted out of the Traitors first. It'd be embarrassing for someone who's one Big Brother, which is like a very strategic game, to get voted out of the show first. I'm not saying they should feel embarrassed, but I feel like that in their head, versus like a housewife who like might not even know what's happening half the time. Like, they're there for TV, for the exposure, for the outfits, to go on a free trip. Like, the different, I know that's like a generalization, but to me, the stakes for people who have like reputations in a game like this is different than the personalities who are like, oh, let me try this for a little bit. And most of these housewives, I think all of them are also still on TV. So they're gonna
True.
go home. Like, they're going back to Housewives. They're going back to Married to Medicine. They don't necessarily, I don't know if they're gonna take it as seriously as someone who is
Right.
from Big Brother and Survivor. Like, that's like part of them, like being like a competitor.
Right. And some of them, I guess, and I hate to bring in money, but I'm sure some of them are like way more wealthy or
Yeah.
wealthier, I guess the word is. I don't really know, but yes, I agree with you. I think the stakes are probably, or they probably feel a little more pressure
There's
than
more pressure,
some
like
of these
per they
people.
put pressure on themselves. I don't think the Housewives are putting much
Yeah.
pressure on themselves.
But I will, yeah. But I will say, I don't, again, I don't, even for like reputation purposes, it's not about that for me with Dan. It's just I secretly want him to continue to be on TV and I want him to have a good experience. And I worry if he goes out first or second or something, like he's gonna be like, never again.
Oh
But he has been promoting the show, and so like I feel like he had a good experience. At least this is what I'm hoping
my
for.
God. Okay, I like that. I like reading into the Instagram activity.
I do that because I'm like, has Pete, well, we'll get to Peter, but I'm curious like if you've seen anything from some of the people that you follow. But okay, let's, anything about Dan? I'm trying to think if there's anything else. I'm just, oh, the other thing, I really want Dan to be a traitor. I just feel like as a faithful he would be fine and maybe even recruited, but like as a traitor, like he has to be a traitor. That is his like personality. I don't even know how to describe it. It just like would feel wrong if he wasn't.
I really
So
would love to be in the room with producers when they're deciding who the traitors are. Like, do they sit in a round table and like debate like how they think these people would be? Do they talk? I know they like interview them like Alan Cummings does, but I don't think that actually goes into it. Like, I would love to know the people who actually make the decision, like what though, like that would be a very interesting conversation, like of the fourth wall of why they decided what they did and how it shaped the season. Because in other games, the production isn't like setting up some people in certain positions quite as much. A lot of times the fate's in their own hands. They play a immunity challenge right away, or they play at a HOH competition right away, or something like kind of sets the tone of the game that the production can't necessarily control. And this is them doing it. So I would just, in another world, love to get like the special after the season ends of the production being like, okay, this is why we picked this person and this person. We regret it. Watching it back, we should have picked X, or this was the greatest call we ever made. We did it because of this. Like, that would fascinate me.
That is true. And they also have to think about like the relationships and like how smart the people are, because like not for nothing, to be a trader, you have to kind of know how TV works. And I don't know, you have to, there's like production things that I think are important for them. And but yeah, I think Dan, would be an obvious traitor to me, but I'm almost like maybe it'll be a double bluff of like they would never make Dan a traitor because that would be too obvious. So I can't tell which way we'll go.
Ooh, but
regardless, I'm super excited about it.
Okay.
Next up, we have Deontay Wilder. Also someone I don't know much about.
He's a
It's okay. We probably won't spend too much time on him, but he's a professional boxer. He's been in the Olympics. He's won a bunch of heavyweight titles. He's 38 years old. I just don't know how he came into the picture of casting. This is why I'm like, are they trying to bring in like sports people to watch?
Maybe they're, I mean, they kind of the same way. I feel like The Challenge started branching out and they did that like spinoff show with like Victor Cruz hosting.
Oh my God. I forgot about
that. Yeah. Like I think because these shows sometimes maybe don't get the respect they might deserve. Whereas people who like think they're above reality television, like I think this is a really good show to watch, whether you think you like reality TV or not. Like it's pretty fascinating. It's kind of about like, it's entertaining and I look at it as like entertainment for sure. And like, I love Alan Cummings and like the silly stuff, but like, I think even if you're not like super into reality TV, it's just really interesting to watch like, and try to guess along and the like mind games of it. And it's kind of like a study into like humans overall. So I think to bring in maybe also some people that aren't, you have to balance it out. Like there's a lot of really big personalities on here. So you need some people that are going to be maybe, which he might end up being a big personality. I don't know. As an athlete, it's not like boxers are usually shy, but not necessarily like working the camera, like a little more green to reality TV, definitely not green to entertainment. And, you know, boxing is definitely like a sport that you're, again, not shy at all, but it's also like comes down to, again, he's obviously, I imagine, going to really help the challenges, but is he going to meet the right ally that is the big brother survivor kind of, or traitor's kind of brain to help him potentially? Maybe he knows more than I would. I'm just making assumptions here, like very generalizations.
Oh yeah. I'll preface this by saying like, all of this is just like first impressions.
He might be the best player of all time and bow down if so, I don't know.
And I actually wondered like, I keep saying I have to imagine, but like, there's probably a few guys in here and maybe girls that like know him, are like fans of him. I mean, he's like a serious boxer, at least from what I read. Wikipedia is my friend today, but yeah, like you're right, they have to throw in some randos in here, but like, and we'll get to the guy from the parliament, but like the boxer, I'm like, okay, maybe they're trying to get like, because they already are getting the Bravo audience, the CBS audience. They're probably just trying to get some other people in there. That would be my assumption.
Yeah, I'm interested to see. I think, again, as we kind of said with Bergie, like it's good to have a decent amount, like a handful of people you don't totally know, because it's like, it's a long game.
Yes. So next up, we have your friend. No, Ekin Su. Apologies, I don't know how to pronounce her last name. I don't know if you do.
No, she's just Ekin Su. She's like Cher. She doesn't need a last name.
Okay, perfect. She's from Love Island, UK. She's a British-Turkish actress, again, according to Wikipedia. She won season 8 of Love Island, UK, which I don't understand how you win a show for love.
Let me tell you.
You can explain it to me.
I would do love nothing more. So I have watched a few seasons of Love Island, UK. Last year, I was really into it, and that was when Ekin Su and Davide were on it. And the way Love Island UK works is it's part game show, part like love. So you're coupled up and you are like looking for love, and they do fall in love, quote unquote, because they spend so much time together. It's not like a bachelor show where they're constantly being pulled. Like they live in this villa, they all sleep in the same room. You have to share a bed with your current match. Like, and if you don't, otherwise you have to sleep outside if you decide not to. And they're all in like this one big room. And the public is like voting on who, so in the UK, because we watch in real time, it goes on Hulu, like on a delay in the US, but if you watch in real time on like a VPN, I don't think you can vote, but the UK is voting, and that is how they stay. So they're partly trying to just convince people they're in love. They're partly in love, and they're like doing competitions that are meant to stir the pot. So they'll play a game where it's like, kiss the Islander that you think, you know, that you've been thinking about since day one, or kiss the Islander who like has the best whatever. And then they'll kiss someone who's not their current partner, and like all hell will break loose. And they send them to Casa Amor, which is like when they send half of them away, and then they're allowed to do whatever they want. And then they show clips of it and have to watch and like see if their partner like cheated on them. Oh. And it's like very dirty. It used to be the early seasons of that show were like all bets were off. Like they were really drunk and they were the Twitter, they would have like Twitter people write in like saying really mean things. Like it was ruthless. And they also would like show very graphic of the scenes in bed. Now it's like a little more tame.
Yeah.
For mental health and what popularity reasons, but Ekin-Su was a force, and she got Davide, and he also was a force, but she ran the show. And for her to put a guy in his place who was very, you know, masculine and did not necessarily, was not going to cower to most people, Ekin-Su was definitely a dominating force on Love Island UK, and she was hilarious. Okay. And there was a big fight that Ekin-Su, they fought all the time, but they were like so fun to watch, which is how they won. So like America liked them, was kind of that, or the UK liked them. And they were together, they like broke up at one point after this show ended, but then I think they might have been back together, but it might've just been because they were making more money as a like couple. Yeah. Yeah. But there was one really good fight in which Davide screamed at her, Ekin-Su, you are an actress. You are fake. You are an actress. And then the whole, like the big joke was just like, Ekin-Su, you are an actress. So I think if Ekin-Su plays her cards right and she doesn't lose her cool, which she might, but if she doesn't, she could end up being okay at this because she's not above lying. She's not above like being an actress. Like she can fake it, but she also has a short fuse. So if someone messes with her, it could not go well. Like the other girls, I don't know if they loved her in the villa, but like as viewers, everyone loved Ekin-Su.
Oh, okay. She's a So she also knows how to play to the cameras a little bit terms of, okay, this actually sounds like a little bit like Big Brother, but like not. But like
yeah, it's just more like love involved. It's like if everyone in Big Brother was on a showmance and that they actually like cared about.
Big Brother UK also like the fans vote too. Like the fans have more say. Mm. I feel like in the UK in general, that must just be a thing.
Yeah. I'm a Celebrity, Get Me Out of Here. All those shows I feel like, or there's something else in the UK. Maybe I'm actually thinking of Big Brother. I just feel like they have like that must be their draw, like how they get people invested.
You're probably thinking about it's probably like Britain's Got Talent or something. Like okay. All those shows. It's yeah. always like voting, but like I would say more so than here at least. But
I've only ever heard like Spencer Pratt talk about Celebrity Big Brother, and he says in like the UK it's just so cutthroat and savage compared to here. Is for the voting.
Yeah, and the same thing like you said about Love Island. I don't know nowadays, but like they show a lot on camera that we wouldn't. It's definitely like almost like dirtier or like more cutthroat. I don't know.
Yeah.
But I love. Okay, so she's a big personality. She's not like somebody who's gonna come in shy.
She might come in like a little shy just because she doesn't know probably any of these people. I can't imagine she watches any of these shows and or any like American television, to be quite honest. But I think she will, something will spark a fuse in her. And I think people will underestimate her, if I had to guess, because they probably don't know who she is either. Maybe like the Love Island USA person has watched UK, but it was also only last year. And I don't know, maybe some of these people watch it, but I don't know. I'm really interested to see. When I saw Ekin-Su on there, I was like, no freaking way. Like I need it. It was one of those things when Love Island UK, it's one of those things that airs a million episodes like Big Brother, like every day. So I was ready. You're ready for it to be over. But I was like, I miss Ekin-Su. And I almost watched her in Davide's like dumb road trip show, but I never got the VPN back.
Oh gosh. Oh my God. Well, wait, I actually love this then because it'll be interesting to see like, if I feel like she would eat Bergy alive, but like they're both Love Island people, maybe they'll be buddy up. I don't know. But would you want to see Ekin-Su as a traitor or faithful?
Ooh, honestly, I think she'd be really interesting to see as a traitor, especially because she doesn't really know anyone. So I think she wouldn't want to be bossed around though. Like if the other traitors were like, listen, like you don't mess with Sandra, like we got to get rid of her. Like I don't think she'd be like being told what to do. But I also think that she would be really good because no one would ever suspect her just because she's from a dating show. If she True. Plays her cards right, I don't know. Either way, I'm really just looking forward to having Ekin-Su back on my TV.
You're kind of getting me excited to see her and I don't even know her.
I hope she doesn't disappoint. You never know who's going to get the screen time, but I am ready for Ekin-Su.
You don't. Okay. Love it. Next up, we have Janelle Perzina. She is from Big Brother. She's been on Big Brother four times. Wow. She's come in third twice. She is friends with Rachel Riley from season one. She played Big Brother with Cody from season one. Very competitive. She was considered a comp beast on Big Brother for many, many years. She's definitely not shy, not afraid to call people out. Again, she's been on a bunch of reality shows in addition to this. So like she also kind of knows the game, knows how it works. She definitely called Rachel for advice. Like they're very good friends. I don't know if she needs the advice because like Rachel is just a faithful too. But and then like I said, with Dan, I think they're good friends. Good friends in terms of like they don't talk every day, but like when they catch up, I'm sure they're good. So that's sort of Janelle. I'm really pumped to see her. She's always been one of my favorite players. I think she's gonna be messy, which she's like a Rachel or a Kate. Like she's just that's the kind of vibe. And well, you watched BB22. What did you think of Janelle?
I did. I mean, I loved her. I was like sad that I didn't know. That whole season just made me like wish I was like more familiar with like the old school Big Brother. But no, I mean, I think she's also like a big personality, so it's going to be really interesting to see how people like that play it, 'cause it's probably really hard for them to not like shine, both because the camera loves them, both because they know how to play these games. They're playing with people that aren't up to their standards necessarily. But and I also feel like there must be such a disappointment for anyone from like Big Brother, the Challenge Survivor, who isn't named a traitor. Like I feel like they're gonna have like half of their challenge is gonna be like masking the fact that they're not in the mix. So it's like hard though, because there's too many of them. Like I want them to make all the Big Brother and Survivor
I
people
know.
traitors.
I know. There was two things I wanted to mention. One was I forgot to mention. So Janelle and Dan both are Survivor fans, so I know that they know Parv and Sandra at least. I don't know to what extent, but they know of them. And they both do their homework, so I think Janelle probably at least and they both watch or at least know of the challenge people. Like Janelle knows who Johnny Bananas is,
I'm
and
sure,
Trishel and Janelle I think definitely crossed paths in like the early 2000s, like for sure.
they ran the early 2000s somewhere.
Literally. The other thing I was thinking, so based on who's going to end up being a traitor, is that, well, when you're a traitor, you kind of have an advantage because you just have more information. Your fate is a little bit more in your hands in the game. But it's also interesting. So, like, say, Sarah, you were a traitor, and I know you, and I could sort of tell you are. The best thing to do as a friend of a traitor is to do nothing, to like, befriend them. They won't kill you because you're friendly. Don't call them out on it and just like try to get to the end and then cut them. And so that's what I've also been thinking about of like who knows each other. Like if Janelle or Dan are traitors or whatever, like, and they can kind of suss each other out, do you just let them? Like, you know what I mean? There's also that part of the game.
Especially like at the round tables. Like Tamra Judge is not gonna sit there and like be able to keep her cool if she thinks someone across the room is a traitor, or potentially if they come for her. Like those are the things that like housewives don't stand for. They don't like being called liars. They don't like they take everything personally. So someone like Janelle, it would be if she can, play her cards of like, I know this person so well, but I'm gonna keep that as like my secret weapon. Whereas the housewife would be like, I saw you lie on season whatever of your show. Like they would blow up each other's spots in 2 seconds. But could Janelle have some almost like a Cerie? Because if Janelle's never won her show, the same way Cerie had never won and kind of got to like play another version of it, like that could be a moment. I
Yeah.
don't know.
It's hard for me to compare Cerie and Janelle because they're so different. Like Cerie's a little bit more quiet and Janelle's like more in your face, but like they both know, like Janelle's strategic. Like she knows what she is doing. It's just a matter of, yeah. She also played The Amazing Race. She's been on a bunch of shows. So yeah, I don't know. I think again, I want Dan to be a traitor, but I wouldn't hate Janelle being a traitor, but like I honestly feel like there'd be more drama if she was a faithful because she'd be like calling people out, sort of like Rachel and Kate. But yep, that's Janelle. Oh God, the next one. You ready for it?
I mean, what number show is this for bananas?
Yeah, the guy's been on TV this year like a million times. So he's obviously from Real World Key West originally, which again, I watched back in the day. He's been on 20 plus seasons of The Challenge. He was just on House of Villains. He's won seven, at least seven seasons of The Challenge, which I think is the highest ever. Do not quote me on that. Also has won over $1 million on the show. He famously stole money from, did you watch that season,
Sarah? Yeah, from Sarah.
Yes, from Sarah. That was, yeah, that was a huge, I remember, moment. You know, he's just been on tons of reality TV. He knows how to give good confessionals. I think even in the trailer, he was like giving it to Alan. I'm like,
yeah,
sit down, Johnny Bananas. But yeah, will he? I just think he's going to stick to what he knows. He's going to compete in the challenges, try to, you know, help there to show his worth. He's going to probably, you know, low key, obviously work with the challenge people. But I'm going to put it out there. I really don't want him to be a traitor. I think he'd be so annoying. I'm sorry.
Yeah. Listen, Bananas is here to make good TV, and he will, but you need to be able to control him a little bit, or it will become the Bananas show, and he exactly. will gladly take that on. I watched part of House of Villains, just the beginning, and that was kind of what was happening there, which was fine, but got a little old. Like, I do think he's great to have in the mix for stuff like this, but this is a big cast and I want to see them all. So I hope they don't make him a traitor either, because I do think it would become the Bananas program. That being said, he's been on this many seasons of television for a reason. He is good TV. And I almost think like that's going to be more what he's focused on. That was almost like, not that House of Villains really had many stakes, but like, and he's going to want to win. Like, he's going to want to look like a competition, you know, that's going to come naturally to him. But I almost think he's just there to like stir the pot and make TV. Like at this point, like Banana's resume speaks for itself. Like he doesn't need to win this. Like he doesn't, right. I don't know if he's going to have like that fire in him, besides to make good TV. Like he'll definitely like be present, but I don't know if he is going to care that much, if that makes sense. Like I think he's going to care more about like sparring with Alan and like stirring the pot and maybe, you know, throwing the, I think in the back, he's going to be like low key producing himself the way he yes. did on the Villains.
Yes. And what I said about Dan, how Dan's just there for the money, Bananas is there for the TV.
Right. Like, it's the opposite.
Yeah. I mean, he's been on TV, I think at least like 3 or 4 times this year on different networks. And different
shows. It's impressive, honestly.
It is. And I give him credit. He's made a career out of it. And like, as much as, you know, I go up and down with like how I feel about him. Like there are seasons where I was like, really like a big fan, and then there's seasons where like, all right, we've seen you enough, and like I don't have anything necessarily against the guy,
yeah,
but you know, he could be a lot. And like you said, I just watched House of Villains too, and it was kind of the banana show, so
yeah, a little bit.
Yeah. I'm interested to see how there's just so many big personalities, like how is this gonna shake out, and yeah. are we gonna
he's not gonna let himself not be a star, though.
He's not a, you know, B-list
no.
Reality TV star. In his mind, he's A-list. He's there. He's the star of the show. So I hope he's a faithful, because that'll yeah. humble him a little. No, I'm just kidding.
No, I know.
It'll just okay. be more enjoyable to watch, I think.
Yeah. The next two are another, like, whatever, until we're really home free.
Oh, my God. Okay, let's bring it in.
Parliament.
Okay, we got John Bercow. He is a former politician, Speaker of House of Commons, whatever that means, a former member of Parliament. He's 60. Really don't know much else about the guy. To me, it's like, this is somebody who could come in and just kind of like not make friends, and people are just like you're annoying, like, because he's yeah. just like an older guy, like I don't think a lot of people know who he is. I'm sure they don't. No. And or he could just like kind of slip through and make it far. So for him, I'm like, I don't know.
Yeah, I agree with either one of those takes. I think it's going to be one or the other. I can't imagine he's going to bring too much, but sometimes it's like
politicians, you never know.
Right. Politicians are dirty. So he has that going for him. And so it's a lot of times it's like about the unlikely duos. So like if someone, one of these really well-known reality stars decides to buddy up to John from Parliament, like that could be a fun thing to watch and then a fun dynamic, and he could end up being part of the game. I don't know.
It's like a Johnny Bananas, John Parliament guy, buddy cop movie or
right,
something.
Right. Like I would be intrigued by that. So, and if he has an accent, that's always fun. Like, you know, just giving us a little bit of flair.
Yeah. I'm also wondering if they would make him a traitor, because it's sort of like the audience doesn't know him enough to like make him a traitor? Does that make sense? Like, you almost want traitors that you sort of are familiar with. I don't know.
It's I think like, he could be like a third in the equation. Like, it, once you establish your, as like when I said at the beginning, like, it, there's no doubt in my mind they're going to pick one of these CBS personalities. I would imagine they'd also pick a housewife because they are really popular and people want to see them on the show. There are Housewives fans who tune in to maybe don't watch CBS, and there's definitely crossover, but there's definitely people who are watching the show for just the Housewives, and there's people watching it for just, you know, the Challenge, Survivor, and Big Brother, more competition shows. So you kind of, as a producer, also have to cater to the audience. Like, they're not going to sideline all the Housewives because then the Housewives fans watching are going to turn it off. Same thing with the Survivor, Big Brother fans. So someone like this could round it out and keep it interesting. The same thing with Kevin from Bling Empire, as you intro him, just because they're like, we don't know about him either. But it, like, I think he would be another factor. Like, I've seen bits and pieces of Bling Empire. He was not the standout to me. It was like Dorothy Wang and the women on the show were like the point. So I don't know. He could surprise people too, but those people are like, or your Bergie are like your third traitor in theory, if you're trying to get someone involved that's not as well known, and to maybe have the other two strong personalities might need someone to balance them out just on screen.
Nope. That's totally true. Like, maybe you don't want three or four like really big personality. You need someone to be someone, unfortunately, who needs to be manipulated a little bit.
Yeah. Totally. Which, controlled.
Yeah. So this is Kevin Kreider from Bling Empire. It's a Netflix show, reality show about Asian American socialites in LA. I don't know much about him. I know he's a former model. He's 40. But with him and John, like, maybe it makes more sense with him because he's on a Netflix series. But like, I just, the casting of it all is so interesting. Like, how did they get into the group?
Yeah, I mean, John, I really don't know. With Bling Empire, maybe they look at it in some sense of like, okay, we got certain networks covered. Netflix has had a really big year for reality TV in the last couple of years. It shocks me, honestly. There's no one from like Love is Blind on this versus Bling Empire. But I do think some people, you know, aren't ready to commit to what this show is. It is a little bit more emotionally draining. You're in Scotland. It's like a 3-week long shoot. Some of those Love is Blind people, I think, come off a little traumatized based on what I understand, but it could just be a thing of let's check off network diversity. Because Netflix is not represented otherwise on this list. And if they're trying to bring in people to Peacock, something you need to subscribe to, maybe they're just trying to check in every kind of show, the same thing of why they would bring in a boxer.
Yeah. I mean, they could have easily just brought in all Bravo people or all NBC people, but they wanted to diversify, bring in different audiences. Now that I'm thinking about it, Kevin and who else was, and Bergie.
Yeah.
I could see someone like Dan or Bananas even, like you said, taking them under their wing. Like, I think Kevin, I don't know much about him. He's on a reality TV show, but it's not a competition show.
Yeah.
So I feel like he's probably going to go in a little like, what's going on? But yeah, I could be wrong. Maybe he's cutthroat. Maybe he watches Survivor and Big Brother. I have no idea.
Yeah, you never know.
All right. Well, I'm so excited to hear what you have to say about our next person here, Miss Larsa Pippen from The Real Housewives of Miami. She, of course, is famously formerly married to Scottie Pippen. She is now dating Marcus Jordan, Michael Jordan's son, who we could just talk about them together.
Yeah.
Larsa has been on TV a long time because she was a former friend of the Kardashians. Mm-hmm. And yeah, tell us about Larsa.
Larsa is going to be horrible at this game. She's going to be fun to watch. Larsa does not handle anyone looking at her the wrong way, but she likes to pretend she is cool, calm, and collected. She is the textbook housewife in which she will go hip below the belt, insult someone, and then when they come to them, deny she ever said it, and say it in such a calm way where she's like, what are you talking about? I'm all about peace. All she says on her House of Miami is, I'm about peace. I'm about peace. It's like, Larsa. Then the Miami producers troll her beyond belief because they like will play the clip 30 seconds later, like not keeping the peace. Like I don't know if she's delusional or if she just like can't help herself or if she just genuinely believes that she's not like falling into housewives tropes, but she is just, I don't think she's going to be good at this. I really do enjoy her on Miami. I think she's a great housewife, but also her and Marcus, all you need to know about their relationship is they are beyond codependent. They have a podcast called Separation Anxiety because they get separation anxiety when they're not with each other. Marcus has now been on this, the current season of Miami is airing, and he's been part of it. This is the first season. They were dating last season, but like it was before she was admitting she was dating Michael Jordan's son as the former Mrs. Scottie Pippen, because that's a whole other complicated thing, which I'll be interested to know how many people in the house like put together the Pippen, not put together, but like try to bring up the Pippen Jordan of it all, because on Housewives they like try to downplay it, but it's like insane, obviously, if you know anything about basketball. So they're probably going to pretend that they're like willing to, you know, betray each other, but I don't think they will.
We have to talk about that.
Yeah.
So on the UK version, on season one, I think it was, they brought in a couple, but they were a secret couple. So like, but
that's fun.
And if I remember correctly, neither of them were traitors. Or I think one of them was later recruited maybe, but like, I think they were both faithfuls to start. So anyway, how would that work if one of them is a traitor? There's no way. I don't care what you say, that you're voting, that you would kill your significant other.
I mean, most couples probably wouldn't do that. This couple, especially, I would be shocked. I will eat my words if they do. I mean, I could see maybe Marcus would let Larsa do it because like, whatever, like she's also the reality star and wears the pants and like is the reality star of the two of them.
True.
Like at her core. But I would be shocked. I think they're going to try to have people fooled because they're going to know it has a target on their back. But literally on this season of Miami, Marcus went away for 5 days and Larsa threw him a welcome home party. Like these two are like codependent, like obsessed with each other. I think they could also maybe rub some people the wrong. I don't know if they're like going to be like PDA all over the house, but like that could, I think it's always going to be in the back of people's mind. Like they're a partnership. They're not going to like be able to play it cool where they're like keeping a distance. And that would be weird too, because that would be suspicious. Like, I don't see either of them having much success unless one goes really early and the other one can run for it. Cause I can't imagine they're going to pull this off.
Yeah. And I would definitely assume that if not, they're not killed, at least you have to banish one. You have to get rid of one of them. It just doesn't make sense.
And it's a good excuse to pick someone to banish. Like, I don't trust you, Larsa. One, I could guarantee you in the first few episodes, Larsa like gets in some sort of tiff with someone if it's not serious. Like I would bet my money, my life on it, but also it's just a really good way to get rid of someone. I know like that's not the point to get just to get rid of people, but if you're a traitor and you're trying to manipulate people into voting for someone who's not a traitor, and like, so say they're both not, and they're like, they're a threat. Like it's such an easy narrative to call the couple a threat because they are.
Sarah, what do you think? And I don't know anything about this, so I'm not on record saying I do, but like there were rumors that like one of them, which I'm assuming is Larsa, like would only do the show if he came. Do you think that's true?
Yes. 1,000%. I think that's the only, no, there's no other reason to have Marcus Jordan on this show. Like he didn't even play in the NBA. Like that's fine, but they're going to call him a basketball player. Like he's known for being right now for being Larsa Pippen's boyfriend. And how crazy it is that Michael Jordan's son and Scottie Pippen's ex-wife are in a relationship, like, and for trying to pretend that it's not weird. Like, that's what they're known for. And I would not be surprised. I mean, I told you it was a 5 day going away party, 5 days. And she had a going away party for him. Like,
oh God, that also makes me worried that like, if they're both faithfuls or whatever, and one of them gets killed, the other one's gonna be like, I quit. Is that gonna happen?
That's quite possible. Ugh. Quite possible. You gotta hope. I think for any sake of this entertaining, you gotta get Larsa out early. Cause she'll also drop her bombs. Like she'll be entertaining and then it'll be okay. Bye, Larsa. And then I would be interested to see and get to know Marcus Jordan in this capacity.
Well, that'll be interesting. I just think like two people in there that know, like, it just doesn't make sense.
Yeah.
But okay. And the only other thing I wanted to ask, cause this is actually the first housewife we're talking about.
Mm-hmm.
What's her relationship with some of these other housewives? Does she know them?
Honestly, it's pretty rare for housewives to have not crossed paths at any point, especially if they're OGs on their own franchise, which Larsa was on season one of Miami, which aired a million years ago. Cause then they did 4 seasons, they canceled it. And then they brought it, or 3 or 4. And then they brought it back a couple years ago or 2 years ago. And Larsa only did the first one. Then she kind of went on and became like Kim Kardashian's best friend and didn't need it And then when Kim dropped her and they brought back Peacock, or and brought Miami back to Peacock, she, it was kind of surprising that she was on it. And now she's much more in the mix. So they definitely have all met each other, because Tamra came on her show really early. Sheree is an OG of Atlanta, and Phaedra is not, but she was a huge player, and it was a couple years ago. So she's been around. I feel like all of them were at BravoCon, now that I think about it, past year. So they all know each other for sure. And I think Bravo is kind of like an unspoken truce, unless you are like actively feuding, because they all cross feud all the time because of like Watch What Happens Live. But the Housewives, I would say, like, are a version of a messed up sisterhood. Like, they're not going to come after each other unless someone has betrayed each other in the past. But Sheree and Phaedra are the only ones who've been on a show together, and they get along from what I can remember. Phaedra had an ugly exit from Atlanta, but it wasn't Sheree like involved. And then I think, and Tamra and Phaedra are friends. They were on season 2 of Real Housewives Ultimate Girls Trip together. Yeah.
Okay. We'll get into it. We'll move on to Max Chmurkowski, I think.
Yeah, I think so.
He's from Dancing with the Stars. He's been on the show forever. I have watched a few seasons of that, so I am familiar with him. He's, you know, 43, Ukrainian. He's married to Peeta Murgatroyd, who is also on Dancing with the Stars. I think they have a kid together, maybe two. Mm-hmm. And yeah, he, from what I know just from Dancing with the Stars, like, because I don't know that much, and you tell me if you know anything else, he's just like all business. He's there to like sort of, I don't know, is he like a fun-loving guy? I always feel like he's so serious.
He's pretty serious. I think he might be a little hot-headed too. He's gotten a little more like calm, cool, and collected as he's gotten older. His early seasons of Dancing with the Stars, like him and Hope Solo had like a very like combative relationship. He's dated a few of his past before he married Peeta. Like, he can be messy in a way you might not guess, and he can definitely have a temper. So I think for Max, it's going to be definitely a new environment, something he might not be prepared for, and definitely a test. But it could go either way. I think he could fly under the radar at first because no one's going to guess the Dancing with the Stars guy. But I think if someone pushes the wrong button, he could get a little heated. At least he used to, like old school Max.
Yes, that's the kind of vibe I remember of him. He's just like very serious and like, yes, can like turn on like in a second. So that'll be interesting if someone annoys him or something. He's also one that like, maybe they would make him a traitor. I don't know.
He would be a good third too, like to balance it out, because he's, I don't know. Dancing with the Stars is just, it's a competition show. He's definitely a competition at heart, but just so much of this show is like strategy. And I'm curious. I really have no idea if he has strategy.
I feel like he doesn't know what he's getting into, but
he probably doesn't.
Well, we won't keep on him too long. We have Mercedes MJ, from Shaws of Sunset. Obviously, she knows Reza, who was on season 1. I don't think Reza, I don't think he was
out first.
Was he first? Yeah.
I think he was
very
first.
Early. So they're like, let's bring another Shaws person.
But
yeah, do you watch Shaws? What do you know about her? Because I really don't know much, to be honest.
I've like watched Shaws marathons every now and again, like, because it's not even on anymore, but like Bravo used to air it a lot and it was on for like 10 years. MJ is going to kind of be potentially like Reza, in which like a major personality, but is a little probably smarter, is going to learn from Reza's mistakes, is going to, I would imagine, try to stay under the radar a little bit. She's going to bond probably with a lot of these women, these other reality women. And I could see her not necessarily being on people's radar right away. So I could see her doing her best, but she's another one at a round table. If someone's like, MJ, you were suspicious with this, I don't think she's going to take it very well. But if she's able to fly under the radar and establish like alliances and trust with people, which I think she very well could, she's very like, she is kind. But I could see her imploding somewhere in the middle. Like, I don't think she's going to win. But I don't think she's going to be someone people target right away. So I think she is good TV. Like, she can be shady, she can be savage, but she doesn't do it unwarranted. She doesn't walk in for a fight, but she definitely takes the bait.
See, all these, when you talk about people like this, it's almost like I would prefer them to be faithfuls, because then they'd be messy. But like, do you think she would be a good traitor or faithful?
I actually think she might be a good traitor, because I think she would work with people. at least in the beginning, pretty well. It's similar to like an Ekansu, where they would be like okay to be, you know, guided, but then like if they ever felt like they weren't being heard, it wouldn't go well. But in the beginning, I think they would, someone like MJ would be able to admit like, my show is not a competition show. Like, you guys know what it's like to vote people and nominate people and banish people. Like, that's not what they do on Bravo, unfortunately. So I could see her, I honestly could see MJ having a little bit of an arc people don't expect. Like, I'm looking forward to her, and it's been a minute since she's been on TV, so I think she's gonna want it bad too.
Yeah, I'm wondering, like, are they gonna bring Shaza Sunset back? Because it doesn't really make sense to me why you would cast someone from a show that like doesn't exist anymore, and it's on your network, so you would want to promote your people. So
yeah, like, well, Shaz is really weird because MJ, Reza, and Gigi Golnessa are like always at Bravo things. They were at BravoCon. Shaz has not is canceled, like, for all intents and purposes.
That's what I'm saying.
And they were at BravoCon, like, very much part of the thing. They go on Watch What Happens Live still. Like, she is on Jeff Lewis's radio show all the time, which Jeff Lewis isn't on Bravo either, but that's, like, talking about, he's not on Bravo anymore, but they talk about Bravo. Like, she's part of the conversation, and those three, and they had MJ last year. I think they're just good TV and, like, good to have in the mix, and I think Bravo keeps Shaw's in its back pocket. Like, it got a little dark at the end. Like, there was some relationships that maybe couldn't be salvaged, which was part of it, but I don't think Shaw's is over forever. I could see them bringing it back in some capacity. They've, I think, tried to do spinoffs, but haven't worked, like, even gotten past the production phase. But I think those are just reality stars that they don't want to get rid of. So they keep them around, you know, keep them on an NBC show the same way they kind of did with Brandi Glanville, until not anymore necessarily. Oh. But I always thought Brandi was on Traitors kind of because they couldn't bring her back to Beverly Hills because it really didn't make sense. But they know Brandi Glanville brings TV and she's down. And she's like one of those people that was kind of an experiment on like any show they brought to America from other versions, like Brandi was involved in at some point. So I could see MJ kind of wanting that as her thing too, like keeping in great good graces of NBC, of Peacock, being in the mix, and then hoping that her reality TV future isn't over.
Yeah, that's why I think maybe she'll come in hot, because she's like, let's get them back on TV. Like, I need to show them that we need to bring the show back.
Yeah.
Okay, I'm into it. I think we're getting into some really fun people. Right now we have Parvati Shallow. Parvati, of course, she's played Survivor 4 times. She won Survivor Micronesia. She was runner-up to Sandra on Heroes versus Villains. She recently got divorced. She recently came out. She has a girlfriend, a comedian, so it was like a famous girlfriend. So she's just like living her life. I think I was very happy to see that she's playing this, because she's just, this is like kind of almost like the perfect game for her, sort of like Suri, but obviously in a very different way. Mm-hmm. Parvati is just, I think she can, she doesn't wear her emotions on her face as much as like someone like me. Like,
right.
She's very just like poised and cutthroat, but like also very logical. I don't know. Parvati is like, this is her game. I'm really excited to watch her.
Yeah.
It's just the Sandra of it all. That'll be interesting. There was a little bit of Instagram beef or Facebook beef over the last
year. Oh, with the queen of Survivor or something?
Yes. And funny enough, I asked Suri last year, was she Team Parvati or Team Sandra? And she was like, Team Parvati. And
yes. Like, oh my God.
So I don't think they're on the best of terms. Like, was it playful? Maybe, but it was also like low-key not. I don't know.
Is anything so like that playful with Sandra? Like, she, I feel like, I don't know.
Yeah. So I don't know where they stand, but again, it's one of those things. There's two of you in there. Like, they both will never like take each other to the end and like be like, it's us or nothing. Like, no, they're eventually gonna cut each other if they could.
Yeah.
But I think I couldn't see them targeting each other early, just because it wouldn't,
they're smart
for them.
Yeah, they're smart. I want her to be a traitor so bad. I think
yes
it would just be amazing. And watching her, she was obviously like the leader of that, you'll know it better, but that girls alliance that convinced that guy on Survivor to use his freaking immunity idol on them. Yes, like that is gameplay that you cannot like ever replicate or duplicate or like infiltrate. So it really, again, is going to come down to who the traitors, if they're smart enough to know that's someone who you gotta get out early. You cannot, like, it's, she's another person who I think can manipulate you to your face and you don't realize, and you're like, it's kind of iconic in the making. Yeah. And you're like almost okay with it because it's like iconic in the making. Yeah. Like she, I really don't want her to go early because I want to watch her selfishly. But if any of these traders are smart, she would be the first person I would probably target.
Same. I think she's so dangerous. But I also want to see her as a trader. I'm like going back and forth between her and Dan, because I don't think they would ever make them both traders, but yeah. I secretly want to see them play. Like, it's so cool to see them play together because I feel like Parvati's a little more out there than Dan is, but like they have similar kind of, they play very cutthroat logical games.
Yeah.
They're not super emotional.
They can like hide it, like cool, calm and collected, but also again, running things without you realizing it. That is a very powerful tool that most of these people don't have, because if someone pokes a button, they'll freak out, or they're not as up to speed of reality television manipulation tactics. Like, it, and you come off likable too for the most part. Like, she is a really likable, rootable character. I know she was a villain, but like, not really. Like,
no, and she loves to work with women, and I think there's she has a lot of women who love her. So like, I don't know. I'm so excited. I'm also happy that, well, one, that Sandra's in there, because like it'll be hopefully a little messy, but like, it's good for her that Sandra's there as also a winner of Survivor. It's, she's just not, oh, she's the winner. Cause like, true. That's, like, yeah, that was the other concern. Threats. Like, you know, these people won their show. Although like Ekansu won Love Island. Like there's a couple winners in there.
Yeah. Bananas is obviously a winner. Like CT's a winner. Like they put targets on your back for sure with that label, but how familiar are people is huge.
Yeah, I don't think so. I just am so excited to see her play. And she's another one where I just hope she doesn't get out early. But yeah, anything else about Parvati?
No, I'm just so excited.
She was the one that I like had heard that was going to be on, and I was like dying. I was so excited.
I'm so excited.
All right. We got Peppermint. So Peppermint is from RuPaul's Drag Race, which everyone tells me I should watch, but I have not watched it. One day. She was season 9 runner-up. She's like been on Broadway. She does music. You know, I think it's smart they bring in someone from RuPaul's Drag Race because it's such a popular show. It has an insane following. Like, it makes sense. But I don't know much about her. I have to imagine she's good TV, and she's like, what was it? Runner-up. So like,
yeah.
She must, RuPaul's Drag Race, and tell me if I'm wrong, is a competition. Yes. So like,
yeah.
She has the competitive edge. It's not just like, oh, she's a reality star. Like there's competitiveness there.
Yeah. I think someone like Peppermint is a great addition to a cast like this because it offers a different perspective. The show is a little different. Peppermint's journey is different than anyone else on this show. I think there's just so many potential like alliances that could go on here. And I think she could be someone that comes into play with that too. Like if she teams up with the right person, people might not expect it. People could be surprised. Like there's a real advantage here for some of the people that might be underrated because there's so many highly rated people that if they play their cards right, they could really make a move and strike because there's so many like heavy hitters that as long as people know who the heavy hitters are, like if you're smart about it, you could have like a rising from the ashes, like no one suspected me moment, but you gotta know who those people are. And it's probably really, really hard not to be manipulated by someone who's played Big Brother or Survivor. Like it's just a different beast.
It is. I don't know. I'm excited to see her. I think I read an interview that she was like super excited to represent the trans community. I think like I barely know that Drag Race is like very competitive. Like maybe Johnny Bennett, some of these people don't know that either. And maybe she comes in and she's like really good. I have no clue. Which would they make her a traitor? I'm trying to think.
Maybe. I don't
know. Could go either way.
Yeah. I think it really just comes down to the element of that third person. Like if the, how they want to surprise the audience and mess with the people that are trying to be strategic like that, like thinking it's going to be a woman, it's going to be a man. Okay. Who's the third though? Like that's the wild card to me. And if there's a fourth or something that you're hinting, if they might do something different, that's really going to throw it for a loop. Cause this is also a lot of names. This is the, I don't know if we would know this off of our head, but it's the normal amount of people.
It seems like more.
There's like so many people.
There's like 21 people. There's a lot. Like, yeah. Thank you guys for bearing with us. We're like, I know. On the podcast right now. but we're wrapping up.
Let's rapid fire these. Just kidding.
It's a lot. And like I just mentioned, because the UK version, they have four traders. Like they have the three and then they recruited one. So like, I mean, it's not out of the realm of possibility. So.
Okay, I hope they do
but
that.
But wait, I'm so excited to hear your thoughts about Peter Weber. So Bachelor Peter, tell us what do we need to know about Peter?
Peter was the Bachelor in 2020, and he actually, similar to Ari Leidnick Jr., picked someone and then decided he liked his runner-up better. Unlike Ari, who married his runner-up, kind of like our Jason Mesnick of it all, if Bachelor Nation is here, Peter broke up with Hannah Ann shortly after that he got engaged to her, then tried to get back together with Madison, who he has absolutely nothing in common with. She's like super religious. Like, I don't even know why she was on the show. And his mom hated her. Peter's mom infamously hated Maddie and made that very well known during a live after the final rose, which was quite awkward. Really big Hannah Ann people, very not happy with Peter for what he did. Him and Maddie lasted like a day. And then he ended up dating his fifth place contestant for on and off for 2 years. They broke up last year and he is single now, as far as I know. When I first saw that Peter was going to be on the show, was like, he's going to get eaten alive. Like, he's kind of green. He's kind of naive. I mean, to be a bachelor that is going to date, like not know who you want and have to go between three people says something. Although Ari, kind of similar vibes and, you know, was very successful on the show. I think Peter is going to, my initial thought was he's going to be horrible, but now after sitting with it, I think he actually might be okay at this, because he's not going to stir the pot. He's likable. He's a nice guy. I've interviewed him
together when we saw him.
Yeah. He's out about New York. He goes to events. He's very nice. He always remembers, like, he is a very nice person. And he's definitely partly there like for a good time, which is, I think, half the battle. Like, he's going to take it seriously. I think he'll be competitive to some degree. He's smart. He's a pilot. Like, you know, at first I was like laughing. And then I was like, you know what? I think I'm actually judging Peter too harshly. And he might be okay at this, because they're not going to necessarily think, oh, the Bachelor is a threat. Like, he's not like a competition beast, but he'll hold his own. And he's pretty cool, calm, and collected. Like, he had women yelling at him a lot and he took it. And honestly, I don't know if there's any single people on this show, but I wouldn't put it past Peter to make a play.
Oh, God.
I don't really know if there's any matches here, but I actually think he's going to be better than I thought. And that's my guess about Peter. I initially was like, no way. And now I honestly think he might be okay. I think he would actually be a good trader, because I don't think anyone would see it coming. He, you know, has had to go through a lot of rose ceremonies, sending people home. He didn't necessarily have a good poker face then, but he's grown. And I think he wants to probably prove it to himself that he's going to like have this successful run on this show. So I would be really interested to see Peter try to work with someone like from like a Big Brother or a Survivor alum and kind of see something like that play out.
Yeah. I don't have much to add. Like I did watch his season. I've run into him a couple times in New York. He's also like you said, all about, very nice guy.
Yeah.
But this is a little bit of like the metagame too, but I had read he said he was a last minute addition to the cast. And so again, can he be a traitor? Yes, but I have a feeling he's not. Mm. But I feel like he would be better. I would rather watch him as a traitor. I feel like he would be fun.
I think he'd be fun too. And I've also heard rumbling. I talked to a few people in the Bachelor world when this news came out, because I was like, oh, like, what'd you think of that, Peter? Because like, and he was a former lead. Honestly, Ari was the lead even way before him. So it's interesting. Like, they're not really relevant people, quote unquote, in Bachelor Nation right now. Like, they're not picking people who were just off a season the way they would put them on Dancing with the Stars. Like, he was the Bachelor 3 years ago. But they kind of told me, I think they offered a decent amount of Bachelor. I think they wanted a Bachelor for sure. And I think they definitely, Peter also has a job. So versus a lot of other Bachelor people don't. So maybe I'm not saying he was like the last resort by any means, because he was a lead. And some of the people that claimed to me that they were given offers were not leads, and I was like, okay, really? But I think that just goes to show that they definitely wanted someone from ABC. They wanted a Bachelor. Like, that's a huge franchise. They needed to diversify this cast, because you could definitely get a house full of Big Brother and Survivor people and have a very entertaining game, but you're not going to get anyone from Bachelor Nation, which is somehow still a strong force in reality television.
Yeah, you're right, and I could see Peter being a little more cutthroat than Ari, even though they're both kind of like really nice guys. I don't know,
Yeah.
but that's a good point. He's
Peter's
also a pilot.
single. He's not a dad. Like, he could, like, like, he's
He
playing a
could take
game.
off work for 3 weeks.
Yeah.
He's a pilot.
Yeah.
I'm excited, but wait. So we're gonna get into this next person, Phaedra. Did you see the trailer with Phaedra said, "This isn't The Bachelor. I don't have to kiss your ass."
I did. Okay. Phaedra is going to be the star. There is
I'm
no doubt
excited.
in my mind. Phaedra Parks started on The Real Housewives of Atlanta. She has now crossed over to Married to Medicine. She hasn't been on Atlanta in a while. It didn't end well. But we all have forgiven her. And she's a lawyer. People don't even realize, like, her first job was a
Yes.
lawyer. She was a mortician. Like, she has lived several lives. She had a husband go to jail. She's raised two boys. She has put it all out there on TV. She's hilarious. And she is going to be one of those people that I think is so funny and people are laughing and she's like, they think she's there for like the comic relief, but it's actually like going to be running stuff. Like, there's no doubt in my mind that Phaedra is going to be a star.
Oh my God, that just got me so hyped. I used to cover weirdly Real Housewives of Atlanta like early on, and I didn't really want to watch it, but I kind of got sucked into it.
Yeah.
And I remember Phaedra, like she's so smart.
Yeah.
So for me, I think I would want to see her as a traitor personally, because I
Yeah.
think she could pull it off. I
And
don't know. What do you think?
no one would guess. Like, of all the housewives, Phaedra definitely like can go there and hit below the belt because any housewife can, but Tamra and Sheree and Larsa, I think, are gonna have a much harder time playing cool, calm, and collected. And I think Phaedra is gonna realize she's in a game, is going to be like a combination of how Kate was really funny, but take the game more seriously than Kate did, if I had to guess.
So real quick, we're gonna talk about Sheree, but like, what is her relationship with Sheree?
So I should have double checked. I can't honestly remember like if they were Sheree, who has been in and
They
out
were
of
on,
Atlanta three
but they were
times.
on the same season. I definitely remember they
Yeah.
were.
So Phaedra had like a good season run in the middle. And then Sheree was an OG. Then she left. They brought her back. She left. They brought her back. She's on right now. Like, Sheree has been in and out of Atlanta Housewives for so long. I don't think they're like BFFs by any means, but Housewives are the best at bearing a hatchet. They move on better than any other reality stars because they have to. And Sheree, to just jump to her real quick, I
Yeah.
don't know if Sheree is gonna know what's happening. Sheree is an icon and I love her and I don't want to speak ill of Queen She by Sheree, but she is not gonna know what she signed up for. She's gonna be funny. I don't think she's going to want to be there for the long haul. I
No.
could see the other housewives maybe trying to be like Sheree, like strategy, and her being like, I'm done right now. Like, I'm taking a break. Like, I think Sheree will be funny for housewives fans. I think she might be infuriating for people here to watch the Traitors.
Okay,
But I might be
I could see
wrong.
that.
I could underestimate her. I don't know.
No, I think that's a pretty good read just based on what I know too. Like again, I haven't watched the show in a minute, but I'm very excited for Phaedra, and that clip of her basically eating Peter alive was like, if that's just like one glimpse of what we're getting, I'm
Yeah.
ready for it.
Yeah. No, I feel like I need to like I'm hope I'm not doing a disservice on the Phaedra Sheree history. I can't remember. I mean, Phaedra left on bad terms because of everything that happened with Candy and Portia, but Sheree wasn't like involved in that. So I could see her being like, yeah, I know Portia, like whatever. I don't know. I gotta double check, but oh, those Atlanta
Yeah.
housewives, they are built different. I'll say that.
Okay, we're rounding it out. We're almost there. We got Sandra Diaz-Twine. Obviously, she's from Survivor. She was the first two-time winner. And she's still the first female two-time winner. But she won Survivor Pearl Islands and Heroes vs. Villains. She's also played two other times and appeared on the show more. So she's been on a lot. She played the Australian Survivor.
Wow.
She loves this stuff. So her big thing is, and sorry, I don't know how familiar you are, but like her big thing is, it's anybody but me. I don't care.
Yeah.
I'll vote for anyone as long as
Right.
it's not me. So
Yeah.
she's very much going to be bandwagging the whole time, but while secretly kind of having her own agenda.
Yeah. And probably manipulating some of the people that don't realize someone like Sandra could manipulate them if they're not familiar with how good she is. But yeah, I mean, I think in a game like this, that's a really useful tactic of like, because the alliances matter. Like, you want people to trust you. But at the end of the day, like, it's not like you're getting there as a group. Like, it's also like you have to pick someone. It's a numbers game. So if you have someone who, you know, is going to cut like buddy up, it just has to buddy up to the right people though, because you don't know. It's not like there's an HOH or someone with an immunity necklace that she can go to and be like, use me. Like, she has to suss out the right people or else. And then again, she's a really big one of like, if people know who she is, they should get rid of her. But will they?
No, because I feel like it's like a Suri. Like they're like, oh, here's this mom. Like, what does she know? Like, she's not
Yeah.
cut. Like, they have no idea how dangerous
Which
Sandra
is so
is.
crazy.
It's crazy. The best people to watch for me are like just the nice like moms, hardworking people that come on the show and like pull the wool over the eyes of
Me
like all the
too.
people who came in who like wanted, I don't know, whatever.
But I just
So.
want to, I really want to root for Parv. So it's like hard to root for Sandra.
We don't
Unless
want to
they
say
bury the hatchet. I don't know.
team. No,
Yeah.
yeah, I hope they bury it. I hope they work together and then one of them cuts the other. That would be fun.
Yeah. Oh, that would be so fun.
I'm sure it's gonna it's well, we don't know for sure, but like that would be really cool. I also think she probably knows she does her homework. I'm sure she
Oh.
knows some of these people. So Sandra, I'm excited about and just like the part of it all is like really fun.
Yeah.
I know we touched on Sheree. Any other thoughts? I don't. She's not gonna be a traitor, right? She's in
No,
Faithful.
I don't think so. I think Tamara or Phaedra would be the traitor they pick up a housewife. They're fiery. And I think Sheree, I don't know. I mean, I don't want to undersell her. Like, I literally love her so much, but I just don't think this makes sense for her. Like, I don't think she's gonna want to be there after a couple of days, like at my core. Like, I don't think this is the game for her.
She's too sweet for this world or
Yeah, like
whatever.
she's,
She's
I mean, she
too
can be pushed and
normal.
she can go there too, but like, I just don't think she's gonna be invested. Like, she's like got her head somewhere else. I don't know. That's just my guess, but I could be wrong.
I think you're onto something. I don't think, yeah, I have nothing else to add. I feel like that's probably gonna, and again, we could be completely wrong. So we
Yeah.
shall see. Speaking of Tamara, I don't know much about Tamara. I did watch a couple seasons of Real Housewives of Orange County, and she's kind of been on and off the show as well. What can you tell us about her?
Tamara is one of the best housewives of all time, in
Oh.
my opinion. She is also, though, a presence. So, Tamara, assuming she gets off on a good foot of like she can play nice, but not for long. And I just have a really hard time seeing someone like accusing Tamara of being a traitor and her not being like, no, but you are. Like, I don't know. Like, just like, I could see her having some wild reads at like a round table. But also, she is smart. Like, I don't want to say that she's not because she is smart, but she does not, would not want to be called a liar. She's not going to take it well if people are questioning her character. Like, housewives don't like their characters being questioned. And
Of
that's the whole point of the
course.
game. So, like, I don't think they're going to love that they're always just being called liars or, but that's like literally the point. So I'm really interested to see Tamara. It's been a minute because she was off at Orange County for a bit and then she came back this year and came in hot. She runs the show. Like, you don't have Tamara on the show and like not be like, I think she might have a hard time like keeping a low profile. But I don't know. I have seen on the one thing you mentioned way a while ago about Instagram and who's interacting, and I don't have them all like memorized the names, but I feel like Tamara is one who's been commenting on a lot of people's posts. She's been posting about it. Like, she's a good network girly too. Like, she will show up for Bravo. She's gonna show up for this. She has a podcast with Tani Mellencamp in which she stirs the pot all the time, recapping the Housewives. I bet Tani Mellencamp wishes she was called for this
Yeah.
show so badly. So I hope Tamara gets a fair shake. I could also see her being someone like, if they need someone to target and she pisses off the wrong person, they might send her home. But I hope her or Phaedra are our housewife traitor if I had if I was running the show.
Okay. And was there any, because Phaedra and her were on Ultimate Girls Trip, was there anything with them?
No, they got along really well. Phaedra and Tamara, honestly, it was interesting girls trip because it was during Tamara's off time from Orange County. And she, again, gets in drama, but like she was pretty cool, calm, and collected on that girlship season. And I think it's because she had taken a step back and she kind of realized, like, I don't need this. Like, this should be fun. Like, I'm not in the thick of it. But now, like, old Tamra's back because she's on the show again. So now she's, like, a little off her rocker again in the best way. Like, I love Tamra. But, like, in Where Housewives, when they're in the thick of it, they can't see past next season. They can't see past getting their orange. They can't see past making good TV. And when they're removed, some of their humanity comes back. And that was the Phaedra and Tamra we saw on Girls Trip, which was very sweet and refreshing, still entertaining and very funny. But now Tamra, I mean, she had a wild season coming back in Orange County. She was like feuding with everyone, including the own friend she brought on the show. So she's coming. She came in hot. So I hope the same thing happens here. But I'm really curious to see how the four of them, if Larsa, Tamra, Sheree, and Phaedra do any sort of working together, or if they are, sometimes it's hard to get housewife alliances because they all want to be the star, but we'll see.
Yeah. And some of the housewives have appeared on competition shows, but the ones that haven't, you know, they film those shows, and tell me if I'm wrong, to like 5 a.m, getting drunk. Like,
yeah,
it's really just intense. And I just wonder like how they'll handle like this competition series. It's interesting.
It's definitely different. I think they're not a stranger to a camera. I'll say that. So some of these people maybe aren't used to being filmed. I don't know if they film them 24/7 here, or do they go down?
They get to go back to a hotel.
Oh, okay. Okay.
Yeah.
So that'll be good for the housewives. They would not handle the like
Big Brother,
a surveillance situation, or even living genuinely in the house.
Fair. Okay. But we have one more name. And that is Trishelle. Trishelle is an OG of Real World. She was on Las Vegas, which was a very popular season back in the day. She's also been, like I said, she's been in those circles. She's been on Fear Factor. She was on Punk'd back in the day. Thank you, Wikipedia. She was in William Hung She Bangs video.
Oh, she has IMDb credits.
Like she was... Trishelle was huge. And she kind of just like keeps a low profile, but she's also she's like a poker player.
Which is
funny because she shot a pilot with Amanda Kimmel, who was in the Black Widow Brigade with Parvati. So she knows who Parvati is. So I'm wondering, yeah, how much they talk. I don't know.
And she definitely would probably know Bananas and CT. Like she's in the MTV worlds, right?
Trishelle?
Yeah.
Yeah, so she's been on The Challenge back in the day.
Oh, okay. I don't think I saw her Challenge seasons.
I did. They were so long ago. I don't think she's been on the show in quite a... Oh, actually, she was on All Stars. You know how they do those, the All Star... It's almost like... I don't know why they call them All Star Challenge, because they're like... It's just old school. All Star. Whatever. But she actually was on recently. I don't know if Bananas or CT were on her season. But like, yeah, they know each other.
Yeah, she's like in that lexicon.
Yeah, those three have 100% talked before the show, right? Like there's
no doubt in my mind. And she, I feel like, is someone who probably has spoken to maybe like Parv or like some of the other women. Like she's going to like go in, like she's not signing up to come back to TV after all this experience without knowing what she's getting into. Like she's someone who I would trust to like do her research.
Yep. Yep. She watches Survivor. She's tweeted in the past about Big Brother. Like I've talked to her before about Big Brother. So I know she watches Big Brother. Which scares me a little bit because I'm like, please don't get Dan or Janelle out. Like, side. I think Trishelle might be a fun trader, but I also could see her being a faithful. Like, she's kind of a toss up for me. But yeah, anything else about Trishelle?
No, I can't believe like all these names. Like, I'm so excited.
Yeah, I didn't know how long we were going to go, but I didn't realize there are a lot of.
There's so many names.
Like, this is a lot.
Yeah.
Well, any last minute predictions? Who, I guess, would you say are like your top picks for being a traitor? You said Phaedra.
Tamra/Phaedra, Parv, and Peter.
That's good. I see, I'm like between Dan and Parv, like one of those. And then I think Peter.
You might need Dan because I don't know if Peter could like carry the, you might need someone who's Peter might not be like the dominant one, but I don't know. He's the only guy with two strong women would be interesting for me to watch.
That's a whole other thing of like, thinking there's gotta be a woman and there's gotta be a man. Like maybe one day they'll just do like all women. That would be cool. But
that would be cool.
Well, Sarah, I want to thank you for joining me. Thank you for doing this. Tell everyone like, where can they find you? Where can they follow your stuff?
I am at Sarah Heron on Instagram. Don't come for me if you didn't like my takes. I don't need it. It's fine. I'm just here for fun. And you can read us weekly anytime. We'll be covering traders probably in some degree. I know Sharon will have you covered, but yeah, we cover, if you want to know anything about these people's love lives and outside of the castle, come to me and I'll fill you in.
Yeah. Follow Sarah on Twitter and Instagram too. She's always commenting on like what's happening in real time with these shows too, which is super fun. Cause like, again, I don't keep up on every Bravo show, but like, I like when you have your take. Cause then I usually are just like, okay, I agree with that.
Yeah. I can't help if everyone's talking about it, I can't wait. So I will be posting in real time if there's any sort of breaking Housewives, Bachelor, Traitors news.
Amazing. Okay. Well, thank you. And thank you everyone for tuning in. Please like, and subscribe so you don't miss any of my interviews. I will be covering, like I said, weekly. I have a special guest later this week when the first three episodes drop, so stay tuned for that.